Friday morning, I'm ministering on the topic we've been talking about Sunday mornings, about the windows of heaven. And Karen has put together a PowerPoint presentation to go along with the message that we're going to do a dry run on tonight. So we're going to teach something we've been teaching Sunday mornings tonight to make sure the presentation flows okay. And as well, I've got other information we're going to add to it tonight. Hope you're not getting tired of this message, but every time I open up and I study it further, I revelate more on it. And so I want to share with you what I'm getting. And I'm enjoying this message because it's tying so many things together that we've studied in the past, and it's bringing it together to somewhat of a consolidated message for me. And it's like, have you heard in quantum physics the term string theory? Physicists are trying to come up with a theory that consolidates all of the physics theories together as one. And I'm excited to see God doing that in the end times with all the principles of the kingdom of God. They all fit together as one. And in fact, our involvement in it all ties together. So turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, have you got it? Go to verse 10. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that'd be your local church, right? That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. We've studied before, the Lord of hosts is a term that references the end time church, right? The army of God. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And a while back I was reading this passage and the term windows jumped out at me. And windows jumped out because I noticed it was plural. Because normally when I think of the windows of heaven over my life, I think of one. Right? I've got a window that I need tithing to open up to receive the blessing from God. If you don't tithe, that window is closed. But I started meditating the term windows. What windows? So I started thinking, maybe there's a bunch of windows over your life. There's a healing window. There's a prosperity window. There's a peace, joy, love window. Maybe there are different windows, and tithing opens these up to let you receive the blessings from God, right? Because some people have a healing window open, but they have a prosperity window closed. Or they have a window open for their marriage, but you know, not for forgiveness or whatever. And closed windows steal from you the blessing of God. But then I started thinking about, what if there are some stacked windows? Have you got that video ready? Stacked one, meaning one window on top of another, and you've got to open the whole set to receive the blessing of God. So I've got a video I want to start off with tonight that demonstrate what I'm talking about, stacked windows or stacked gates. So if we could show this video tonight. It only lasts a couple minutes. That was from the old television show Get Smart. Put together by Mel Brooks. And that in the 60s, early 60s, really mid-60s, was one of my family's favorite TV shows. And Patty and I have got a hold of the DVD set. We've been watching through it again. And Patty is beside herself watching these things. Miss me by that much. And as I was watching it, it represented the message we've been teaching about these stacked gates. In other words, to get from the car to the phone booth, you had to go through a whole set of doors or gates or windows. Window being a portal or a passageway, right? To get to his destination. And I believe that God's got blessings for us, but it requires going through some stacked gates. Now, to demonstrate this in the Word, go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Go to verse number 8. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. He could have just left out all the whatsoevers, couldn't he? It's probably something to do with the Bible code working out at the right letter skip to make it. Need to have it be like that. Of a good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. And I, for years, have called this the allowable filter bank that we as Christians are allowed to dwell upon. Do you follow me? In other words, if we're going to think on anything, we've got to be willing, if we really want to serve God effectively, we've got to be willing to filter our thoughts. You know, a lot of just let your mind go where it wants to roam. You've got to filter your thoughts. And so it says to start off, whatsoever things are true, is what you're thinking about true? Does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, you've got to cast it down. So on our chart up here, we've got thoughts that arise over on the left. All these filter banks your thoughts have to pass through, but you've got to examine the thought to determine, does it line up to these? And if it lines up, you're allowed to think about it. And if it doesn't, you cast those thoughts down according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? And so is it honest? Is it something that involves honesty? Is your integrity upheld in this thought? Or is it something that's conniving, sneaky, or dishonest? If it's wrong, cast it down. See, this is a stacked set of gateways for your thoughts. Is it a just thought? Is it fair? Is it equitable? If not, cast it down. And you go all the way through these, right? We're not going to spend time teaching on each one. But you go through each one of these, and if the thought fails the test at any one, you do not dwell on that thought. And if we could get a hold of that one thing, it would turn our lives around right there. I mean, even the thought that you're sick, or that you're going broke, or you can't pay the bills, well, that's really not a thought in line with the Word of God. You should be casting those down and say, instead, I'm prosperous and I'm healthy. Right? And so thought control is of paramount importance for the believer to go into the perfect plan of God for their lives. So here we see an example of stacked windows or stacked gateways. And this one involves your thoughts. Then I thought, are there windows that are stacked that involve blocking the blessing of God in our life? And so let's go to the next slide and let's demonstrate this. We understand that as people that are saved, we have a covenant with God, right? In fact, the Bible makes clear we have the blessing of Abraham on our lives, and blessing I will bless you, right? And so if you want to be blessed of God, there's a major window needs to be open. Now, in this chart, we start off with in the third heaven, that would be the spirit realm or God's blessings. And God wants us blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you prosperous. He wants your marriage, you know, to be a marriage made in heaven. He wants your children blessed. He wants you overwhelmed with blessings, being a demonstration of His ability to elevate His children to the highest levels. Right? Then we have in the first heaven, we have an arrow called manifested blessings. What is it you manifest? Now, the truth is, most Christians, their arrow for manifesting or for God's blessings, wanting He wants to get to you, would be huge. He wants to overflow you. But most Christians have a very small arrow of manifested blessings. Right? In fact, we're going to draw up here, as we've drawn up here, in the second heaven, the first window you need opened is salvation. Until you've given your life to Jesus, until you've been born again, you have no access to the true blessings of heaven, right? No covenant. So we know that's necessary to have. But then it says in Malachi, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse that you may receive a blessing. So let's put the next chart up. Now we have a second window. See, to really receive the blessing of God, if you've got to be saved and you've got to be a tither. Amen. It's not enough just to be saved. It's not enough just to tithe. You've got to be in covenant and fulfilling the terms of the covenant, and one of those terms is tithing. And God says, if you don't tithe, you're robbing from God. Right? Then another window. Let's put another one up. Seed. God said, in fact, Jesus declared it part of His doctrine in the parable of the sower, that you've got to have seed in the ground, right? In Haggai, we discovered that God says you're not blessed because you're holding on to your seed. Your seed's still in the barn, or you're building your own houses. We discover that seed lets God multiply blessings to your life. And you can be saved, you can be a tither, but if you're not sowing seed, you're going to shut down a lot of God's blessing. And of course, seed can be financial. It can be good deeds. It can be services. It can be the word spoken into people's lives. It can be intercession. These are all forms of seed. But if you don't have any seed, you've given God nothing to multiply back to your life. Right? So in the parable of the sower, it talks about he's going to multiply some 30, some 60, 100 fold. Well, if you don't have seed, 100 times zero is still zero. Amen. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians, he says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Sowing what? Seed. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if you want God to bless you, seed becomes a key component to that. And I've determined to live my life as a sower. Not just finances, but my life. I want to live on behalf of other people. I want to be a blessing. And I believe God will multiply that back into my life. Amen. And you guys are evidence of it. Your heart to serve God and to even bless me and to support this church are harvest on the seeds I've sown in the past. I'm convinced of it regarding service. But there's more windows. Let's go to another one. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the conduit we have from our position in the first heaven on earth to the third heaven in the realm of the Spirit. And faith lets you extract God's blessings into your life. Amen. And if you have not taken an effort to build your faith, to grow your faith, then you will not see the maximum amount of God's blessings enter your life. Amen. Without faith, you'll still stay sick. Without faith, you'll still stay broke. In other words, as far as spiritual manifest or kingdom multiplication. Without faith, you'll be oppressed, depressed. The devil will tap dance on your head every chance he gets. Because faith is the power of God to overcome every attack of the enemy. In fact, it's called the shield of faith, right? So faith becomes a window or a gateway to God's blessing. So it's not enough just to be saved. It's not enough just to tithe. Not enough just to have some seed in the ground. You better build your faith. What we're getting at in this right now is we're letting you know so many people say, well, I'm saved. Why hasn't God blessed me? I tithe. Why hasn't God blessed me? I've got seed in the ground. Why hasn't God blessed me? What other windows do you have shut? Because these are stacked windows. And if you have any of them shut, it's going to impact your ability to be blessed. How about another window? We're going through this pretty quick tonight. But we got a lot to cover. Forgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Well, listen, unforgiveness in your life is a major blessing blocker. Not only that, an individual shared a testimony a while back that he had died and gone before God. And God said, I cannot receive you into heaven right now. You're on your way to hell. I forget the form of the visitation. But the Lord said, you can't go to heaven. He says, I've been a pastor for so many years and I've served the people and I've seen miracles. And God says, yes. But you never forgave your wife for what she did to you. And that shut down your access to heaven. Well, listen, you can take that or leave it, but I don't want that in my life. Forgiveness becomes a major gate opener to the blessings of God. You cannot afford to walk in unforgiveness. For one thing, unforgiveness begets bitterness. And bitterness begets disease. And both can take you to hell. Amen. So you need to make sure you're hearing God of who to forgive and what to do to forgive, right? Let's go to the next window. This is going well, isn't it? Confession. Now, confession doesn't mean, going into a little box at the church and telling the priest all your sins. I'm talking about confession, and the word means what you speak. Right? In fact, we're to be speaking the word of God. So we understand that death and life is in the power of the tongue. If you're speaking death, you will block God's blessings. If you're speaking life, you open the door to God's blessings. So you should be speaking, I'm healed. I'm prosperous. I'm blessed. Everything I put my hand to prospers. My marriage is blessed. My children are serving God. Don't speak the curse. Now, I mentioned this before. I would much rather have in my church a bunch of cussers than a bunch of cursers. Many would say, what's the difference? Well, to cuss is to say certain selected four-letter words. But to curse is to speak over somebody's life opposite the Word of God. And you can curse your own life. And if you speak the curse, you block God's blessings. So confession, confessing the Word of God over your life, and even in prayer over other people, becomes a major gate opener in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see how there's not just one requirement to access the blessing of God? In fact, we could have 50 of these windows. We've mentioned others before. There's other things you've got to do, though. We don't have the space or the time to talk about each of all these impact your blessing from God, right? Let's go to the next one. Holiness. Holiness. Holiness is the level of obedience you will walk in to God and to His Word. Amen? Holiness is more than not cussing or smoking or drinking. Holiness is how much you will walk in love, how much you will resist the devil, how much you will follow the Holy Spirit. I believe true holiness is to be Spirit-led 24/7. Amen. And Scripture says, without a holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, listen, that then becomes a major gateway to God's blessing. Which brings up another point I want to throw out. There's a move in the church now. Many of the church, well, it's been around for 2,000 years. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans we talked about. Hallelujah. There's a doctrine going around that once you're saved, God can't see your sin anymore. That you can do what you want. It doesn't affect God's ability to bless you. That's crazy. Disobedience to the Word and to God can take you to hell. And it will certainly block your blessings. As I say often, if God can't see my sin anymore, I've been listening to the wrong voice for 30 years because He's always telling me what I need to fix. Amen. And then the eighth window. Church. Church in divine order. Covenant. God has ordained and commanded His church, His people, to be assembled as the church. The Bible says the anointing, Psalm 133, flows from the head all the way down to the skirts of Aaron's garment, right? There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That covenant and church act to allow you to access the full power of God in your life. As I've said many times, you can receive more anointing at church than you can at home. Why? Because God multiplies His presence when we come together. Amen. So church, many people don't like to hear this, but church becomes a mandatory step to access God's blessings. Amen. That's why. This is in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a man of some is. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And the next verse says, for if we sin willfully after we see the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice. God takes rebellion against His church very seriously. Amen. Now just another note. I know some people live in a place there's not a good church to go to. There's not a church of life. You know, it's just religious churches. There are churches you can join online. We have what we call in this church virtual church. You can join this church online. Send in your tithes, watch the videos. You can call us or email us for prayer requests, whatever you want to do. We will consider you an active member of this church and under the covering of the church. Here's how serious church was. There was a man in the church at Corinth that was having relations with his father's wife. Remember this story? And Paul said, you have to kick him out and turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh that the soul might be saved. Now, what does that indicate to us? As long as he was still, even on the church rolls, considered a member and able to attend, there was a certain level of covering over his life the devil couldn't touch him through. Amen. Until that covering was intentionally, by the authority of the leadership, pulled back from the man, that the enemy could attack him and hopefully turn him back to God. In other words, the attacks caused him to recognize, I need to get back where there was a covering. That means the covering of the church has power to deliver you from many of the attacks of the enemy. There are so many attacks the enemy would like to bring against you, but you belong to a church that prays, that intercedes, and there's a covering over. He can't even touch you with much of it. Amen. So God's ordained we be part of the church. Now again, the point of this is, so many people say, I'm saved, I tithe. What church do you go to? Well, I just send my tithe one to. I really don't belong to a church. I don't believe in the church. I believe we're all just members of the church. Well, that's going to block God's blessing from your life. Right? And each of these have an effect to water down how much of the blessing of God you can receive. So as revival, as saints, we are called of God to examine ourselves and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to show us these windows. So we went to Philippians chapter 3. We're not turning to some of these tonight for the sake of time. We went to Philippians chapter 3 and we discovered that Paul said, I press toward the mark, right? Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going after Jesus. But then he says, and if we be any way otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto us. In other words, God by the Holy Spirit wants to show you these windows that aren't fully opened. Who called you to be saved? Spirit of God. Who told you to tithe? Who convicted you of tithing? Spirit of God. Who led you to learn about the power of seed and the need to sow seed? Who's the one that tells you what to sow? The Holy Spirit. Who's the one that says, yes, you do need to go to that faith church. You need to learn about faith. That's not the devil telling you. That's God telling you. What's he doing? He's trying to tell you, you need to forgive them. You need to get rid of the sin. You need to go to church. Speak the word. Who's telling you that? The Spirit of God. You know what? I believe the Holy Spirit's number one focus on your life is to show you windows that aren't fully open. So many people are saying, God, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me be? And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, you need to fix this. How many times have I went to God in prayer and said, what do you want me to do? What would you have me be? You know, where should I go? And he's saying, you need to go forgive that person, or you need to repent from this. You need to apologize to your wife. No, God, I'm not talking about me, you know, what I need to change. What do you want me to do? I'm convinced if we'll do what the Spirit, if we'll change what the Spirit of God wants us to change, He'll lead us where we need to be. And so I believe that God knows about these windows. Gates, doors, whatever you want to call it. He knows about them. And He wants to get through to us what we need to do to get them fully opened. Amen. But something was bugging me a little bit on this teaching. We're going to go into a new part tonight. Something was bugging me just a little bit. Go back to Malachi chapter 3. Are you there? Verse 10 again, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Do you see that? And prove me, put me to the test now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now here God says, if you tithe, I'll open to you the windows of heaven. So if God says tithing will open these windows, why do I have to be concerned about the other windows? Tithing most certainly would open all of them. I mean, doesn't it sound like that's how it reads? Sounds like tithing would do it all. But we know that's not true because we know there's other things we have to do. Are you following me on this? It says He'll open the windows of heaven, but yet I know there's other gateways I've got to deal with to receive blessing from God. So I was asking God, God, how can this be that you said you'd open the windows through tithing, but I've got other work to do with the windows? And then we read the rest of the verse. Look at the next phrase. That there may be meat in mine house. Do you see that? Do you see that? Meat in mine house? What does that meat represent? Now we know for one thing, the preacher will have something to eat. Because when they would bring the tithes in the Old Testament, they would bring the animals as tithe. They would sacrifice and the priest would eat of the animals. That became dinner for them. And understand, part of my pay is out of the tithes you guys bring. Amen. But I believe there's a more spiritual application of that. We've talked about it. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I wanted to bring you meat, but I can only bring you milk because there's strife in your midst. Remember that? We discovered that true meat, spiritual meat, is deep revelation of the Word of God. And this is what I heard God say. When I said, if you tithe, I would open the windows of heaven. I would open the windows of revelation into your life. Do you follow me? In other words, there'll be meat in mine house. The tither, it opened the windows of revelation. And the windows of revelation are necessary to be open to get all the others open. Does it sound okay to you? That without revelation of the Word, without revelation by the Spirit, we can't receive the things of God. And so, in fact, turn over to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Again, we're taking some passages. You know, this is about six messages on this we've done now. So we're taking some passages we've read through and studied. We're going through fairly quickly tonight because this is a consolidated message. But in Matthew 16, the disciples come to Jesus and say, who do men say that I am, right? And finally, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 17, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. How many want the blessing? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he received revelation. Say revelation. He received revelation from the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, what did we say that tithing will open up to us? The windows of revelation. The ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. Right? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a small stone. And upon this rock, this large rock, I will build my church. Now, he says, I will build my church on this rock. And we've talked about it many times there before. The rock is not Peter. This rock isn't even Jesus. Right? The rock he's talking about is the ability to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. Follow me on this. The first window we showed was salvation. The second one, tithe. Tithing opens the windows of revelation that God can then change you through that open window to build His church. So the open window of tithing allows me to the Holy Spirit to come through to transform us to become the full glorified church. Praise Jesus. Should we take it a step further? Now, let's go to the next slide. Before you were saved, I don't know if you can read these or not, but before you were saved, all these windows were closed. Right? So I'll read them to you because I know it's kind of hard to see from where you're at. Instead of being saved, you were abiding in spiritual death. Right? separated from God because you had no covenant. You were a sinner. No access to the throne of grace. Instead of a tither, you were a God robber. Right? God says, you're robbing God. You've blocked the blessing in your life. Bring you the tithes in the storehouse. You're a God robber. Not only that, you were self-serving. You weren't a sower. You weren't living your life as a servant or living your life as a seed. You were selfish. Right? Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You were selfish. Instead of being in faith, you lived in unbelief. You didn't believe anything about the Word. You were so programmed by the world, you believed evolution and all the other false information that's put out there. What happened? Every window was closed. Instead of being forgiving, you were unforgiving. In fact, you bragged about your unforgiveness. I'll never forgive them. I'll never forgive them what they did to me, right? Or what they did to whoever. As well, you were cursing instead of blessing. You were speaking the opposite of the word. You were speaking the curse instead of the blessing. Instead of holiness, you dwelt in lasciviousness, unrestrained sin. Before I was saved, I practiced sin. Took pride in sin. Bragged about sin. Amen. That was a closed gate to the blessing of God. And of course, instead of being in church, we were rebellious. Rebellious against the covenant of God. So all of these were closed. So how does God open these? How does God get these windows from closed to open? First thing He does is by the Holy Spirit convict you of the need to be saved. Then He's got to get into tithing. Now, not all the windows are opened in the same order, but He's got to get you to the place you're tithing. So meat can flow into your life and you can really develop and grow in the kingdom of God, right? And so these are all changed. Put up the next one. I call all of these closed. In fact, are you still in Matthew 16? Look at verse 18 again. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell. Now, I've always in my mind envisioned a set of gates. In fact, I could draw the gates I've always seen in my mind for you. They were like hinged double gates, usually two bars on each gate, and I could see that gate. But that was my own mental fabrication of what I thought the gates of hell might look like. But the true gates of hell are not external to you, they're internal to you. They're in your thinking. Because if you believe, nothing shall be impossible unto you. I believe these closed windows that the enemy's worked all of your life to keep shut, bolted shut, welded shut, padlocked four or five times, all represent the genuine gates of hell. Because He says the rock of revelation, once it enters your life, will overcome the gates of hell. Do you see that? So let's put the next chart up. The Word. Romans 12, the Word transforms our thinking. And so, the Word is what really opens the gates. Time of the Word and the Spirit of God, bringing deep revelation of that Word, cause you to make internal change to open each gate in your life. Do you follow me? And actually, the Word overcomes the gates of hell on your behalf. Now, I don't know what other gates of hell are. There could be corporate gates of hell in cities. You know, I don't know how the whole thing's structured. But I know internally to me there are strongholds the enemy has put up to try to block the blessing from entering my life. And I know only the Word of God has ability to pull down those strongholds, causing me to believe the fullness of the Word and speak it and watch it come to pass. Amen. So we read the next verse in Matthew. Look at verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom that will unlock all the power of heaven itself, that will allow you to overcome in every situation. And then he says, whatever you bind or loose will be done. He gives us a hint. These keys have to do with the principles of the kingdom. In fact, go to the next chart. I believe these open windows represent for us the keys to the kingdom. If you can get these windows, in fact, there's others that go with it. You know, honoring your father and your mother. We could go all the way through a whole set of them, walking in love. All allow you to open up the gateways to God's blessing in your life. Do you see this? So these become the keys to the kingdom. So the word coming in changes how you think, and as well allows you to access God's blessing. But it goes further than that. Oh, I left off some stuff. I mentioned this a while ago. If you want God's blessing, I started looking at each of these windows. Remember we said that salvation connects you with God? And tithing opens the windows of revelation? I started meditating what each of these windows opens up for us. I believe each one opens up a different form of window in our life. Am I getting too deep out there tonight? Salvation opens up connection with God. Now you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Tithing opens up the windows of revelation over your life. Seed opens up the windows of multiplication for your life. Do you see that? 30, 60, 100 fold. Faith opens up access to the blessing over your life. Only faith has the ability to reach from your situations on the first heaven into the third heaven to receive of God's promises for you. Amen. Confession activates the blessing of God on your life. You remember when we taught on five steps of faith in here? Revelation, meditation, activation. What was the next one? Manifestation, restoration. Five steps of faith. We talked about the third step, activation, having three steps. Do you remember those? Speaking, acting as if the promise were true, and standing. Getting a little bit of review tonight, right? So the first step of activation is to speak. What's it? To confess the word, to confess what God has said. So confession activates the promise. See, your faith is not released until you speak it. Each is acting as a different window over your life. Forgiveness. Remember we showed that filter bank? I have in my house, and you probably do as well, I have cleanable filters, static filters. And once they get plugged up so far, I take them outside and I backwash them. I turn them backwards and I spray the hose and it cleans it all out from the backside. In my pool, I've got a sand filter. And once the water starts to, the pressure goes up, the water flow starts to reduce, I've got to backwash the sand filter. And what it does, it reverses the flow in the filter and pushes all the crud that's been caught by the filter out to waste. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness backwashes all of our filters. Keeps you in right standing with the whole thing. In fact, I called it, forgiveness is the window to continued purification. Holiness. Well, that holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is the window to penetration. How far into the kingdom do you want to go? How far do you want to move into the things of the kingdom? holiness becomes the requirement for that. In fact, holiness also is the window to establishment. It lets you actually become grounded in the kingdom where the enemy can't touch you. Because this primary source to manipulate your life is to get you to compromise with sin. Until you do, he has no access to touch you. Do you follow me? And then church. You ready for the church one? What do you think the church window opens up? Well, that's a good one. Amplification. If two or more agree, right? Once you put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. It amplifies the anointing and the power and the protection over your life. What I'm getting at tonight is each one of these windows opens up a different form of divine intervention in your life. Divine access. Isn't that good? Should we take this further? Go to the next chart. I'm wondering how we're going to cover all this in a 50-minute session. We drew this chart as God really has two purposes for your life. He wants you to manifest His blessings and manifest His love. Right? And so, as we open these windows, as the Word comes in, it causes us to open all these windows, but also it changes us that love can be produced out of us. So love is coming up out of you and blessings are flowing through you. Both of those represent the fruit of God in your life, what He wants you to produce. And through that, we actually move into what Paul called perfection. We move into full maturity. We move into full fulfillment of God's call upon our lives. Amen. But let me take this a step further. We covered some of this last Sunday morning. We drew these eight windows. Salvation, tithe, seed, faith, forgiveness, what's the next one? Confession, holiness, church. What we discovered? Is God has blessings. He wants to get to you from the third heaven, right? We dwell in the first heaven. So He wants us to receive these blessings. So this is manifested blessings. Just abbreviating for the sake of time. We discovered the Word comes in to overcome the gates of hell and deliver to us the keys of the kingdom, and that God wants love to come out of our life. Right? And this is the second heaven. Now, we're not going to spend any time on this tonight, but we've learned for many years that the true battleground that we do spiritual battle in is the second heaven realm of the soul. The battle's in our mind, right? So really, the transformation we've got to do to win is all in the second heaven, all in the realm of the soul. We also discover from 2 Peter chapter 1, turn there. Verse 5 says, adding to your faith virtue, right? So what we're going to do, You erase this a second. Remember, the Word comes in. We receive the Word. And the Word is there to build our faith. Right? It's to open all the windows, but it also builds our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But this is adding to your faith virtue. Now get this. We're about to go through the Stairway to Agape. Get the book. All of the things that we show on the horizontal here deal with changes we need to make in our life, in particular actions we need to act, you know, we need to get involved in. Going to church is an action. Tithing is an action. Faith involves action. We're about to go through a set of steps to the love of God that require internal transformation of attitude, of reaction, of how we deal with circumstances. Right? Adding to your virtue, knowledge. Somebody say something. What's next? Temperance. Temperance is before knowledge or after? All right, there we go. Knowledge, temperance, patience, right? Godliness. Brotherly kindness. Doesn't stand for Burger King, it's brotherly kindness. And it results in love. So what's going on, how God really wants to operate in your life is to bring the Word into your life to open every single gate of hell, that you receive the keys of the kingdom to their fullness, so that every bit of God's blessings can flow to your life. At the same time, He wants the same Word to you, allow the Holy Spirit not just show you what you need to do, what you need to change internally to develop all these attributes in your life to produce the love of God. Right? And what we have learned is that faith worketh by love, energized by love, it's activated by love. So it's not enough just to work on the horizontal list, those windows, and think you've done enough. Because unless you work on these windows as well, you won't be walking in a high enough level of love, and it'll shut down the operation of these windows. See, God's put a fail-safe in this. You can't just pick a few things you want to do to try to receive blessing. It's an entire package that interlocks and works together. You follow me on this? Then what we also discovered, yeah, let's go with the blue again, is that love, when it reaches its fullness, manifests the glory of God. God is agape. He is love. Glory being the very image, nature, or character of a person, or in this case of God, His nature is love. And love fully overflowing your life results in the manifestation of His supernatural glory. And that's what we're after. Cities of glory. He's after a glorious bride. Right? So this is an entire set of windows, a set horizontal to the blessing, a set vertical to the glory that God's called us to be involved in. So that being said, turn to Psalm 24. You're not getting bored with this lesson, are you? Trying to get it infused within us. Psalm 24. Look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? I want to. How about you? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Now we found that you get a pure heart when you're born again. God changes your heart, right? Makes you a new creation. You get clean hands when you do the Word. When you follow God, you obey Him and you let Him cleanse you. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You lift up your soul to vanity, that means you've elevated what you think and what you feel above the Word. And God says, when you elevate what you think and what you feel above the Word, it produces vanity. Not that you're egotistical, but vanity means powerlessness. So what I'm getting at is, watch this. All of this represents operations in our soul. You follow me? It's all internal to your thinking. Involves even how you feel. And the Word is meant to intentionally, by the Spirit of God's intervention, change that soul to line up with all of this. To get rid of the gates of hell. Right? But a lot of people say, well, I don't need the Word to change me, or I know better than the Word, or I know better than God for my life. And what you do is you just elevated your soul above this Word, and now the Word can't do anything for you. Because the Word can only help you when it can change you. The Bible on the coffee table won't do a thing for you until that Word changes you. And even reading it, if you don't let it change you, if you say, hey, I don't need all that. I like my life. I'm going to live my life how I want to, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. God can't bless you. You just elevated your soul deceitfully into vanity, right? And sworn deceitfully. In other words, and sworn deceitfully has to do with integrity. God said, I can't bless that person. They can't come to my holy hill. But look at the next verse. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Do you see that? The one that can receive that blessing from the third heaven is this guy. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. This is the people that seek God. And listen, when you genuinely seek God, you let God change you. You're not seeking God if you're just seeking for a blessing. You're seeking God when you want the truth, and you'll change to adapt to that truth or to align with that truth. That's genuinely seeking God. God, what do you want to change? Show me, O Lord, any uncleanness in me. That's why David had a heart after God, because he kept saying to God, show me my sin. He wanted to know. I want to know. I want to fix everything that doesn't align with God's will. Look at verse 7 now. Here's where we want to go. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Look at this. We've talked about all of these gates. What do we have? About 15 gates. We've talked about these 15 gates that you need to get opened, the windows you've got to get opened. But God said, in fact, you are the gate. These are sub-gates within you. And if you can open up these sub-gates, these gates of hell, you become a gateway to the world I can pour my glory through. See, God's not just wanting you to be blessed. He wants to show off His ability to bless. God don't want you just showing off that you can walk in love. He wants the love affecting everybody you come in contact with. You're the gateway from heaven to earth of the power of God, the blessing of God, and the glory of God. And he says, lift up your heads, get in the game, realize what I want to do. Let this Word transform how you think. Be a person who genuinely seeks me, and I will pour my glory out through you. And we are the generation he intends to do that through. Let's read on. You still with me? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors. Glory to God. I like the term everlasting. That means once you fix these things, you get them operating, they'll stay open. Once you whip a devil in the area, if you just do some maintenance work, he will stay whipped. Once you get a gate open, it'll stay open as long as you just stay activating. As long as I tie that window of revelation's open. And I don't know about you, but the first thing God convicted me of once I was saved, pretty much the first thing was tithing. And I never heard of it until I was saved. And nobody taught me on it. I saw it in the Word. And, you know, maybe I heard it from a few people, but God said, I need you to do that. Why? He needed to get me in that place of revelation. I need that window of revelation opened. In fact, think about every major transitional step you've taken in your life, your walk with God. It probably involved one of these windows being opened up. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory, Selah. I believe God's showing us His spiritual string theory. It's tying a lot of what we learned in the past together to let us know the entire package necessary to move into His end time plans. And game players, part-time observers, cannot enter into this flow. This is for sold-out people that seek His face only. But those that do, see, in most people's lives, because they have so many closed gates, here's the arrow God wants to bring in. Here's the arrow of actually what they're manifesting. You follow me? I mean, God said He will bless the just and the unjust. So there's some level of blessing. He'll provide food and clothing for about anybody, right? But God wants us for output to equal input. And when He does, we'll provoke even the Jews to jealousy. When He does, harvest will come flocking to us. Your sons and daughters should come from far, right, to be nursed at thy side. In fact, Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the light is coming. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, comes into manifestation. But so many people are praying, God, pour the glory out upon us. And He's saying, okay, I need you to fix this in your life. They don't realize they're waiting for a gateway up there to open, and God's saying there's a gateway in here I need to open. And let you know why God's been so picky about directing everything you do and so finicky about what you can and can't do. Because a lot of Christians seem to be able to get away with anything. I can't get away with anything. I mean, He addresses what I think, where I go, what I say, how I react. And I'm going, God, they don't have to do that. Yeah, but they're not going to go where you're going. There's a price to be paid at the forefront to go where God wants to take you that you do by faith. Have you got anything out of this tonight? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all the work gone into doing these charts. And we ask You, Lord God, to just cause it to be people that activate this in our lives. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug some necks. Show the love of God. Be a blessing. We'll see you.